This message, titled Gratitude for You, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, is preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, there are some things that are so at the heart, you might say, of Christian living, some things that are so at the heart of the Christian attitude that without them, you really lose Christianity. For instance, it would be near impossible to imagine this evening a person who claims to be a Christian who does not love. Jesus has taught us that to not love is contradictory to being one of his own, so that those who do not love, and especially those who do not love the brothers, Jesus says, has no part in me. You might think of the grace of repentance. Repentance is so at the heart of Christian living and the Christian attitude that without repentance, without turning from sin and turning to Jesus as he is offered in the gospel, it's hard to imagine that one could even expect to be a Christian who has not and does not repent of sin. Well, I would add this evening that one of those things that is at the very heart of Christian living and at the very heart of the Christian's attitude, without which it is contradictory to call yourself a Christian, is the grace of gratitude. Gratitude. Without gratitude, it is hard to imagine that one could be a Christian. And that's because, by definition, a Christian is someone who is grateful to God. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 that the very essence of the unregenerate heart, the very essence of the sinful heart, is a failure to honor God as God, and it is a failure to thank him and to give him thanks, to be grateful to him. Paul in Romans chapter 1, as he shuts up all the world under the reality, the burden, the weightiness of sin, says, here is a sin that is enough to condemn everybody. You do not honor God the way that you should, and you are not grateful to him. The very essence of the unregenerate heart is a lack of gratitude. And so it follows that the very essence of what it means to be in Christ, to be a Christian, is in part to be one who is grateful to God, who is thankful to God, who recognizes the benefits and the blessings that have been given by him, and whose hearts are grateful for what he has done. And I want to draw your attention here this evening because of the theme that really opens the body of this letter. We've seen in the last couple of weeks the introduction, who it is that is writing, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. They are writing as ministers of the word. They are writing to bring to these people a word of encouragement. We've seen who it is that they are writing to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have seen the way in which the first word that God gives to his church is the word of grace and peace, those gospel blessings that come through Jesus. But now, as the body of the letter really begins, and as they begin to write to the church of the Thessalonians, the theme that begins to dominate the opening of this letter is the theme of gratitude. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are grateful. They are grateful to God for the church of the Thessalonians. They are grateful to God for those in Thessalonica who have been called out and who are defined by their relationship to God the Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are grateful for those upon whom the grace and the peace of God rest. They're thankful to God for the church. And this evening, my simple aim is to invite you to think about this gratitude that they had for the church. First, to consider the characteristics of this gratitude. And secondly, this evening, to consider the expressions of gratitude. The characteristics of gratitude and the expressions of it. So first, I want us in these few words here at the beginning of this letter, I want us to see something of the characteristics of gratitude. If you were to give a dictionary definition to the word gratitude, or you were to think of the word thankfulness, and somebody were to ask you, well, what's a definition of that? I imagine most of us would grapple for a very precise definition. In fact, in looking at some dictionaries just this week, you will note that if you go to the word gratitude, the dictionary will define gratitude as a sense of thankfulness. And if you turn the dictionary to the word thankfulness, you will see it defines thankfulness as a sense of gratitude. It defines the word more or less by synonyms. Or one dictionary put it nicely that gratitude, thankfulness is a consciousness of a benefit that has been received. Or if we can put that just a little more in Christian terms this evening, to be grateful, to be thankful, is to be conscious of a blessing that has been received. But more than a dictionary definition, what I want us to see is the way in which gratitude is characterized in these couple of verses. To characterize it, to move us beyond just a simple dictionary definition, to see its character. And I want you to see that from four angles. Gratitude is characterized by, we might say, to begin with, its direction. It's direction. I want you to notice in verse 2, we give thanks to God. We give thanks to God. We give thanks to Him. And we're going to cover this a little more next week, but in verse 3, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy begin to break apart what it is that they are thankful to God for. They are thankful, you'll see in verse 3, for the work of faith, for the labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope. They are thankful for certain things that they see that are evidenced in this church of the Thessalonians. But even as they see these things in the lives of the Thessalonians, I want you to notice that they do not stop with these Christians. But what they do is their gratitude goes, you might say, through the church of the Thessalonians to God Himself. That's where their thankfulness ends. That's where their gratitude terminates. And brothers and sisters, that's a very important characteristic of gratitude. True thankfulness must end with God. True thankfulness must acknowledge God Himself. And if we stop short of that, if we are content to stop short of that, and we're merely thankful for earthly objects, we're just merely thankful for people or for the graces that we see in their lives or the nice things that they do or their labor of love or even their steadfastness of hope, but we only end there, we need to know that that is falling short of what true biblical gratitude is. And you see, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy want these Thessalonians to know, yes, we are thankful for you, but we are thankful to God. Our gratitude is directed at Him because we see through you to the marvelous blessings that God has given. Really, what they're writing here in this second verse is that they have come to have a conscious recognition of God. Through this church, through these people, through the things that they do, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy have come to recognize God Himself. They see that it is God who is at work in the lives of these people. They see that it is God who is providing for these people. They see that it is God who is controlling all things in these people's lives. It is God who deserves all the glory. So I want you to know this. Biblical gratitude, brothers and sisters, makes much of God. The psalmist in that verse that we opened with this evening, and we've even sung, the psalmist in Psalm 69, verse 30, I love the way that he says it. He sings, I will magnify God with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the very means, the psalmist is saying, by which we magnify God. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's really two ways to magnify something, isn't there? To magnify something, on the one hand, can mean that you make something that is very small appear very big. That's what a magnifying glass is for. Making something that is small look like it's big. But on the other hand, there's another way to magnify something, and it's what we often do with a telescope. That we begin to see something that is great in, so to speak, its proper perspective. That we don't make something that is little appear big, but we begin to take in the greatness of something that we cannot begin to comprehend. And the psalmist is saying in the 69th Psalm, I will magnify God with thanksgiving. He is not saying, I will make a little God appear to be very big with gratitude. He is saying, I will make the greatness of who God is known by my gratitude and by my thanksgiving. I will begin to see God as he really is. And you see, in a very real sense, that's how Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy begin. We are grateful. We give thanks to God for you. Because in you and through you, we begin to see the greatness of who God is and of all that he has done through Jesus Christ by his Spirit for his people. The first characteristic of gratitude is its direction. It is directed to God. But there's another characteristic here. It's the characteristic of unity. Look at verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. I want you to notice the pronouns that are used there. We give thanks in all of our prayers. I don't want to insult your intelligence, but who's the we? Who's the our? Well, it leads us back to verse 1. It's Paul, it's Silvanus, and it is Timothy. And what we see here is that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are united in their gratitude for these believers. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are united in thanksgiving for these Christians. And I point this out this evening for this simple purpose, that there is something in gratitude that, brothers and sisters, it needs to unite us to one another. When you think about all the things in this world and all the things in our lives that unite us to other people, you could probably begin to give a whole list of things. We're united to other people by our common history. We're united to people, perhaps, by our geographical location and where we live. Many of us are united to other people through the bonds of marriage. We're united to other people through blood. We are united to other people through our interests and our hobbies. We are united to other people through purposes and goals that we share in our lives. We are united to other people in our workplace and in the vocations that we have. And we are united to other people in sports. There are all kinds of things that unite us to one another. And sadly, tragically, sometimes the very things that unite us to one another are sinful things. Sometimes it's a dislike or a hatred for another person. Sometimes the sin of complaining unites us to other people. The sin of gossip. The sin of running other people down. The sins of anger and the sins of bitterness. And we share those sinful roots with other people. There are many things, brothers and sisters, that unite us to others. And what I want you to see this evening, the picture that is here, is that these three ministers of Jesus, this apostle, this prophet, this pastor, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, are bound together by, yes, they're bound together by their ministry. They've been bound together in jail. They've been bound together in beatings. They've been bound together in suffering and in persecution. But the thing that comes to the forefront here, the picture that is being painted, is that these three men are bound to one another in the unity of gratitude. It is not simply Paul who is thankful for the Thessalonians. It's Paul and Silvanus. But not even just Paul and Silvanus. It is Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy together in unity of heart and mind, overflow with gratitude and thankfulness to God for this church. And it's a remarkable picture. It's a wonderful picture in a world where we often see fracturing of sin, in a world in which sin often unites us. Here, these three godly men demonstrate for us what it looks like to be united in gratitude, to be united in thankfulness for the blessings of God. Another characteristic of gratitude is unity. We have another characteristic, though, in these words for unity, and not just gratitude's direction or gratitude's unity, but we have gratitude's extent. We give thanks, they write in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for all of you. For all of you. I want you to notice that they don't stop short and say, well, we're really thankful for the elders in Thessalonica, but we're not so thankful for the congregation. They don't say, well, we're sure thankful for the pastor there. He seems to be doing a great work. Everybody else, we're not thinking of too much. They don't say, well, we're really thankful for a few of you or a dozen of you, but Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy say to this church, we are thankful for all of you. We are thankful for every single one of you. Now, brothers and sisters, we might be tempted to think this evening that being thankful for all these believers in Thessalonica, we may be tempted to think, well, that was pretty easy for Paul. It was pretty easy for Silvanus. It was pretty easy for Timothy to be thankful. What do we know about the church in Thessalonica? Well, again, we've looked at Acts 17, where this church is first mentioned. And we know that as Paul and Silvanus are ministering there, as they begin to gather together a people redeemed by sovereign grace, we read that many devout Greeks believe the gospel and form this church. Many, we read, leading women of the city of Thessalonica become members of this church. We read of a man by the name of Jason, who helps to house the apostle and the prophet in their ministry, who himself pays a fee because he allowed them to preach the gospel. Jason's a pretty good guy. And we read of the brothers in Thessalonica who helped to get Paul and Silvanus out of that community when the persecution rose. And when we think about this church, when we think about these believers, we might say, well, of course they're thankful for them. They're a church that's really easy to be thankful for. And we may be tempted to think, you know, if I was in a church like the Church of the Thessalonians, I could probably agree with Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. I could probably look at everybody there and say, yep, I am thankful for everyone there. But then that reality, brothers and sisters, the temptation is, doesn't land here for our own congregation. It may be tempting to think, well, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are thankful for all of them because they're people who are easy to be thankful for. But I want this evening for that thought to be driven away. Because there is no church. There is no congregation on this side of eternity that does not, to some degree, have conflict. You will never find a church wherein every single person is living in the harmony and the love that we are called to by the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never find a congregation where there aren't some annoyances, where there aren't difficult people and difficult personalities and people who are passive-aggressive and people who are prideful and people who are arrogant. Simply to say, you will never on this side of eternity find a perfect church. There is sin in the midst of every congregation. And because of the nature of our lives together and of our fellowship together, that sin is often seen. That sin is often manifested. It's not hidden. It's not under the surface. There is no church on planet Earth where everything is easy. And you see, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy actually go on to note this. We'll get into it more next week. But in the third verse, they say, remembering before God, our God and Father, your work of love, your work of faith and labor of love. It's interesting, the labor of love. The word labor there means your toil, your exertion. It implies a difficulty and an obstacle. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are saying, you seek to overcome those obstacles. You tirelessly toil to love one another as you have been called to love each other. And that, they are saying, is not easy. And so I don't want you to think that what they write here when they say we give thanks to God always for all of you, that gratitude doesn't come easily, and yet it extends to every person in that church. It extends to every single one who is identified with the church of the Thessalonians. And that's what true Christian gratitude does. It's thankful even for the smallest signs of grace. It's thankful for even the smallest evidences and the smallest fruits, because behind even small grace, we see the greatness of a gracious God. So that when we look at one another's lives and we begin to see the evidences of the gospel, there is in all of our lives reason to be thankful for one another. It's gratitude's extent. The last characteristic of gratitude that comes to us in these verses is what we might call gratitude's endurance. I want you to see the double emphasis in verse 2. We give thanks to God, and then look at the word that they write, always, for all of you. Then there's a comma, and then I want you to see the next word, constantly, or without ceasing, mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of love, labor of love, and endurance of hope. There's this double emphasis, always and constantly. Now, I don't know if I need to point this out tonight, but when they say the word constantly, that does not mean every single second of every single day, but really is qualified that constantly mentioning you in our prayers, every time we pray, we are thankful for you. And always, for all of you, constantly mentioning our prayers. So when they pray, when they remember these people, they are filled at all times and on all of those occasions with gratitude and with thankfulness. And that's worth noting. Why is that worth noting? Because Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy knew what the burdens of the pastoral ministry were. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, as he gives what is often called the resume of his suffering, how much he suffered as a minister of Christ, notes that one of the very real ways in which he suffered was what he calls the daily burden that I bear for all the churches. The anxiety that weighs upon me every single day for the churches of Christ. Paul was a man whose heart was filled with concerns and filled with burdens. And we know that Paul was very burdened for these Christians here in Thessalonica. In chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and our toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel." Paul wore himself out for this church. We see that in chapter 2, verse 14. We see the Apostle Paul say, "For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews." Paul was concerned. Here's a church that's suffering. Here's a church that is afflicted by the world around them. And Paul was led to be concerned, as he says in chapter 3, verse 2, that their suffering would draw them away from Christ. That they would give up the good foundation, that they would abandon the hope of the gospel. Paul was an anxious man and he was a burdened man. But here's the picture that we see standing at the forefront of this letter, that whatever anxieties and whatever burdens he carried for the souls of these people, he never gave up being thankful for them. He never stopped. Whatever weaknesses they had, whatever temptations he was scared they were going to succumb to, whatever direction he worried, what if suffering pulls you here or pulls you there, he never stopped being thankful. But always and constantly being grateful to God for these Christians. In a word, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, however else they felt about this church, chose at all times gratitude. They chose to be thankful and to endure and to persevere, to be grateful for these people. You see, we begin to see in that how this gratitude is characterized. It's a gratitude that is directed to God. It's a gratitude that unites these three men to one another. It's a gratitude that extends to every person in this church. And it is a gratitude that endures and perseveres the hardships, the afflictions, the burdens, and the anxieties that they had for them. It's the characteristic of gratitude. But secondly, this evening, I want us to see the expressions of gratitude. The expressions. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy tell these people, tell these Christians there in Thessalonica that they are grateful for them, that they are thankful to God for each of them. But the question, of course, is, well, practically then, what does that mean? What does that look like? Are Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy just writing this down? Is this a matter of mere words for them? Or what does their gratitude look like? How does their gratitude to God for them express itself? And I want you to see that their gratitude expresses itself from two angles. The first is that this gratitude that they have for this church, it expresses itself in prayer. Verse 2. "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers." We give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Paul is saying, we're thankful for you to God, and here's the first way we are thankful for you. Constantly, we mention you in our prayers. To put it very simply for us this evening, gratitude expresses itself in prayer. A grateful person is a praying person. If you are not a praying person, examine your heart. You're not a very thankful person. If you are not a praying person, you are not a very grateful person. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy say, here is how gratitude, here is how thankfulness to God expresses itself. It expresses itself through prayer. And of course, that almost comes, and it's so common sense. It's so obvious. It would be very hard to imagine this any other way, because as we have said, a very characteristic of gratitude is that it is directed to God. And what is prayer? Prayer, very simply speaking, is our return to God. God blesses us. God shows us benefits. God is gracious to us. God is merciful to us. And how do we thank? We thank Him by returning to Him in prayer. And by expressing our gratitude, by expressing our thankfulness to him. And yet it is something, brothers and sisters, that I think 9 out of 10 times we probably don't focus on enough. You remember in Luke chapter 17, in Jesus' earthly ministry, 10 lepers come to him. And what does Jesus do to the 10 lepers? We teach our youngest children in their Sunday school classes this story of Jesus. Jesus heals the 10 lepers. And he tells the 10 lepers, go and present yourselves to the priest in the temple. And the 10 lepers go and do that. But what happens after that? Well, if you remember there in Luke 17, how many of the lepers come back to thank Jesus? One. One returns to Jesus with a heart of thankfulness and with a heart of gratitude. And Jesus asks that penetrating and that searching question, where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? And we probably like to imagine ourselves as that leper in the story who returned. But 9 times out of 10, we are probably like the others. The ones who don't return to God, the ones who don't express thankfulness to him, the ones who are not found in prayer, praying and expressing the gratitude that we have for all that God has given us in his gospel. But Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, these 3 men, are bound together in prayer, praying together, expressing their thanks to God always, for all of those who are in the church at Thessalonica. And there's something tender in the very way that they express that. We give thanks to God always for all of you. All of you. You read the other letters of Paul and you find that he often says the same things to the other churches. To the church in Rome, he says, I remember you in all of my prayers. To the church there in Corinth, he says, I make constant mention of you in my prayers. To the church of Philippi and the church at Colossae, he notes, I pray for you continually. And here too, Paul has a heart for the Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy united together, thanking God, expressing their gratitude by means of prayer. By means of prayer. Before asking for anything, before letting their petitions and their supplications be known to God, before praying for physical health, before praying for spiritual prosperity, these 3 men honor and praise and ascribe worth to God because they see in the lives of these Thessalonians evidences of his grace. And there's a little challenge in that for us, isn't there? When's the last time you prayed in gratitude for this church? When's the last time that you thanked God for the evidences of grace, for faith, for love, for hope that exists here in our congregation? A person, a Christian who is grateful is a praying person. And we see that as the expression of their gratitude. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. But there's another expression of their gratitude. It's there in verse 3. Not only do they constantly mention the Thessalonians in their prayer, but in verse 3, remembering before our God and Father, your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at faith, love, and hope as they appear there in the 3rd verse. But I want to draw your attention to that first word of verse 3, remembering. We remember. And that word is rather emphatic. That word is a very intentional word. It means to exercise one's memory. You know, you and I know what it's like. Sometimes we're trying to recount a story or we're trying to remember a detail and we're in the middle of talking to somebody and it just slips our mind and we can't remember what we were going to say. And maybe if you're like me, a couple of hours later when you're far removed from the conversation, suddenly you remember it. It just kind of pops into your head, and that's the detail that I had forgotten, and it comes quite by accident. It comes quite as we are unaware of it. Well, that's not the word that Paul is using here. The word that is written here as remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope is a word that means to exercise one's memory, to be intentional, to not be thoughtless, but to continually put to mind something. And what Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are saying is they are saying that is another way we express our gratitude. Not only do we pray, not only do we thank God for all of you, but we intentionally, purposefully exercise our memories to remember the faith and the love and the hope that is present in this church. That's what they're saying. They are saying we exercise our memory to that end, to think upon the goodness and the grace of God in your lives. They are saying we choose intentionally to remember those things. We cultivate, you might say, a habit of the mind to remember you. And not to remember all of your sin, not to remember all of your wrongs. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, when he gives us the definition of love, love does not keep a record of wrong. But I'll tell you what love does keep a record of. Grace. Love keeps a record of the grace of God as it is displayed in people's lives. Love keeps a record of faith. Love keeps a record of the love that others have. Love keeps a record of the steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are saying to these Christians is that we not only express our gratitude by praying always for you, but by constantly bearing in mind the marks of your salvation, the marks that you are those upon whom the grace and the peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are resting upon. They are saying that they do this daily, they do this continually, they do this always, exercising their memories until they are thankful for these people. There's a challenge there for us. Do you exercise your memory in thinking upon the evidences of God's grace in the lives of those who you worship with every Lord's Day? Do you exercise your memory to bring to mind how thankful you are to be a part of this congregation, to have one another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy expressed their gratitude by remembering these things before God our Father. You see, this is just a little snapshot of the gratitude that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy have for the church. And I just want to ask this evening as we come to a close, brothers and sisters, do you have less of a reason to be thankful for this church than what Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy had to be thankful for the Thessalonians? Is there less of a reason why you and I should not be given to this same kind of thankfulness, to this same kind of gratitude for what we have in this congregation? We serve the same God. The same grace of God is evident here. The same peace of God is evident here. The same faith, the same love, the same hope is present where Jesus Christ is in the midst of his people. Do you, do I, do we have any less reason to be thankful? Thankful for what God has given in this congregation. Brothers and sisters, my prayer is that we would seek that kind of gratitude, that we would endeavor for it, that each of us would cultivate it in our own lives, and that God would give it in abounding measure. Let's pray.